Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we are privileged to be here. Your wonderful grace to us that enables us to know you through your Son and to have that common calling in the Lord Jesus Christ and to have the bond of love that we have with the Holy Spirit shed abroad in our hearts. And so, Father, we ask that we might be, as we feed on your word, built up. Father, that we might be learning new things and that we might be remembering old things that maybe we've lost some sight of. So, Father, we ask that you would teach us from your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's remind ourselves, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. We've been looking at the armor of God. But let's come down to verse 10 and just see if you can remember the things that we've covered over months of time. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Satan still has access to heaven. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. I hope we don't read these things casually. You know, you think about if I had a commander and I was going out on patrol, and he said to me, "Now look, we know that this unit is out in the area where you're going to be. We've had some severe contact with them. You need to do this and this and this." I wouldn't be ignoring what he said. I'd be wanting to know everything that he could tell me about that. And here on a much more important level, the spiritual level, where God has allowed us to be in conflict with Satan himself and Satan's emissaries. So there is such a thing for a believer in Jesus Christ as his evil day or her evil day, when things that you never wanted to have come into your life are all of a sudden staring you in the face, and they are your reality. And, you know, this whole thinking that all God wants for us is prosperity. I hate that, to be honest. I want the prosperity, help to go along with that, but that's not what Scripture teaches, and it's talking here about an evil day and conflict with Satan and so forth. We better be paying attention. Okay, verse 14, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then it kind of, you might feel like it kind of drops off the armor thing, but we're still in a military situation here being portrayed. And this, I can remember years ago, many years ago as a young person, before I was in the military, I thought that the armor ended in verse 17, and that somehow Paul's just going to talk about prayer for a while. And then, you know, when you're in the military, you're communicating all the time, up the chain, down the chain. You're always communicating. If you've got people under you, you're sending them, you're telling them to do this, that, and so forth. And then you're getting instruction from and commands from the people above you. And that's what we're looking at this morning, is this whole area of prayer or communication with God. Let me read that. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray, Paul says, on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So here we are, right in the middle of this area of prayer. And I don't know of a more important area, and at the same time, of a more neglected area. There's lots of things in the Christian life where, as you obey what Scripture says, people will think highly of you. Do you know what I mean by that? You help somebody out, they say, oh, thank you, and so forth. Or you show the love of the Holy Spirit towards somebody. All those things are recognizable immediately, that you're doing what God wants you to do. But I want you to think about this. But with prayer, pretty much nobody knows. If we were to go through, starting with me, Shudder, up, you know, with a projector up on the wall here, so how much time did you spend in prayer in the last 30 days? And it would flash up there. 7 minutes. you get that. But nobody really knows that, you know. And so I start off with this. Prayer is a tremendous demonstration of the reality of our faith. I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but I was talking with an individual one time, and you're not a believer, and he said, you really believe God hears you? Now, when you stop and think about that, here you are sitting somewhere, and you don't even have to mouth the words. Just in your thoughts, you can pray. And you're, by faith, believing that the God who created this magnificent creation, he's listening to you. Not only is he listening to you, he's paying attention to what your specific request is and going to answer it, as we will see, perfectly. Do you believe that? And I think a lot of times we just, maybe he's, I'm sure he listened to Martin Luther and I'm sure he listened to the Apostle Paul. But you have the exact same entrance that they did. You understand that? Through Christ. But wonderful, wonderful entrance. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. let's come down to verse 6. And this is such a powerful verse. And without faith, without believing or taking God at his word, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. He's pleased when we call on him. He's pleased when we take him at his word. And you know, the thing that's been helpful to me is to look at that from the negative side. What we're saying when we don't take him at his word, we're really, in a sense, we're really calling him a liar. Say, I don't believe that. Now, this is the God who is perfect, holy, righteous, just, loving. And say, I don't know if I trust you. And I know myself, if you were to say to me, who has been rather untrustworthy multiple times in my life, if you were to say to me, I don't trust you, what would I do? I'd get offended right away. Do you know what I mean? What did you say about me? I'm untrustworthy, even though I know in my heart of hearts that, yeah, I've been untrustworthy way too many times. Okay. But now what about when we're talking about the God that has never been untrustworthy, ever, with anybody? Okay. All right. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, believes that he exists, that he's real, okay? And that he is, I love this, a rewarder of those who seek him. In other words, he wants you to come to him, and when you come to him in faith, believing him to be who he says he is, then he rewards that. He loves that. Okay. Now, this is the next things we're going to get into here. So, what's our desire when we're coming to him? What are our prayer requests made up of? What do they look like? And this is where it gets very interesting. I found out it was my son-in-law, Jason, that sent me this thing by John Piper about prayer and about prayer and how it relates to the armor and so forth. But he said something like this. This prayer is not a call to the butler to bring you a cool drink out on the porch. And yet so often, that's really what it comes to. That's really what we're doing. So if it's not that, and then he went on to say, this is prayer to be in touch with the commander in chief so that you might do what he wants you to do. And scripture presents that this way, as praying according to his what? Will. That's our desire. Now, how good is his will? See, this is where we get a little nervous. We have our own will, and we know exactly what we would like. Well, maybe not exactly, but we have a feel for what we want. And we're going to be prone to pray along those lines, okay? But the fact of the matter is that he always has what is perfect wrapped up in his will. What is perfect for you wrapped up in his will. In other words, you couldn't come up with anything better for you or anything better for me than his will. We need to see that clearly, because our flesh is going to say, whoa, wait a minute. What I want is most important. It's not most important, because you don't know and I don't know what's the best thing to do. What's the best thing to be part of that's going to have eternal, wonderful ramifications? We don't know. And what if you got everything you wanted, just the way you wanted it? And I say, you would be a Christian spoiled brat. I see, you know, we've been talking about the foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod and reproof will remove it far from him. Foolishness is bound up in my heart, okay, in my flesh. And that means I can't trust what I want. And so often what I want is of so little importance. You know what I mean by that? It doesn't have any eternal ramifications. It's just what I want. I want to be secure. I want this. I want that. Okay. So let's start in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence, 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. Pretty powerful. If we ask according to his will, well, okay, let's go to the next one. Let's contrast that with James chapter 4. James 4, verse 3. What a telling verse. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. So that you may spend it on your pleasures. I want to be happy, healthy, wealthy. I want everything to go my way or better than that. I want it to be just... so that you may spend it on your pleasures. So really what we come down to here is really kind of looking at, what are we here for? And you know, I'm not in any way saying God doesn't want to bless us and give us many of these things, but I find my best times of a walk with the Lord are tied up with difficult things. And my worst times of a walk with the Lord is when everything's going my way. You have any idea about, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. We're talking about prayer. What will put us in prayer? Difficulty. You know. And you have scripture says, pray without ceasing. During the good times, during the bad times. Wow. Okay. Then there's another way this is said in John chapter 14. And John chapter 14, and we'll start in verse 14. And that's where we're going. John 14:14. If you ask anything in my name, Jesus said, I will do it. So now, is this just a magic words? Do you know what I mean? If I can ask anything I want, and then I say, then this is in your name, Lord, then I don't understand what in my name means. My name means, I used to say it this way, so you might have somebody that's going to do a job for you, and you give them a certain amount of authority to do it, but you expect them, and you tell them, I want you to do this the way I would do it if I were doing it. Okay, I want it to represent me. Okay, does that make any sense? Maybe not. In my name. You're going to do this in Linton Whittle's name. I want it done this way. And so when the Lord says, if you ask anything in my name, it means consistent with who Jesus Christ is. It means something that he would want done. Okay. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Which is another way of saying what? According to my will. All right. Then John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 23. Notice the Lord says, upper room discourse with his disciples. And in that day, you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father, the Heavenly Father, for anything, he will give it to you in my name. In other words, consistent with what he wants, which is consistent with what the Father wants. So the Father says, I will answer that. Okay. All right. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. He says to the disciples, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. Okay. All right. I want to restate this. When you come to the Father through Jesus Christ, as a believer in Jesus Christ, understanding that Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose again the third day so that you could be forgiven entirely for your sins and you could be made righteous, which is what he does for those who... And then he calls us saints, which is an amazing thing, holy ones. Because we've been made holy by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me. Okay? So, when we come to the Father, we have the one, and I'll start with this, who loves us with an infinite love. He is not going to allow anything in our lives that he knows, don't forget that he knows would be harmful to us. Now, he doesn't let me define harmful. Do you know what I mean by that? I mean, it's so easy to be very, very touchy about the way your life's going. We all have, well, I'd like this and I'd like that and this would be nice and this doesn't seem to be fair and so forth. Lots of times the Lord will have us in a situation where our only alternative is to cry out to him. But at any rate, so I come to this one who loves me with an infinite love. I come to this one who is the absolute epitome of wisdom, who knows exactly the right thing in answer to my prayer. I might have some idea of what might be right, but I don't have it like he does. He knows exactly and how that all fits into his plan, how he's going to glorify himself through this situation, which isn't that what we should want? I mean, what's going to last forever? You know, I've told the story, the account of when I went over to the hospital and you know, it became clear, or at least clear as we could be, that I wasn't going to make it. And I can remember thinking, Whittles, you're next to a door, and that door opens into eternity. And then I remember thinking, what's important on the other side of that door? The only thing I think of is the glory of God, that he is going to be glorified forever and ever and ever. And and when you look in Scripture, what do you find? All the angels are falling down, and it's all about his glory. Okay. And then I started thinking along these lines. Well, if that's true, like maybe a day from now I'm through that door, then what's important right now? You see, I never saw this as clearly as I did then, that the only thing that matters on this side of the door, since I'm heading to an eternity that never ends, and it's all about the glory of God and the glory of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it's what it's all about. That's what's going to make our hearts sing and fill us up to the fullness of being totally full. Okay? And so all of a sudden I thought, well, what's really important then here is the glory of God, because we're all headed rapidly to going through that door, you know, whether we know it or not. We are, you know, I mean, time just flies by. Okay, so I have this one who loves me with a perfect love, who knows exactly what he made me for, what he created me for in Christ. He knows perfectly how to take me and you and put us in the perfect situation for his glory according to his will. Okay. All right. If that's true, and what I want is the perfect answer. Do you know what I mean? I got this dilemma. And so he tells me, in time of trouble, bring these things. So I bring this to him. What should I, only thing I want is I want the perfect answer. Okay, now let me ask this. Can he give anything other than the perfect answer? No. He can't, and he won't. And sometimes that answer is no. But that's great. Do you know what I mean? That's what we should want. If he's telling me no to my request, the way I think it should go, then no's the right answer. Okay. And I ought to be happy with that. I ought to thank him for that. So as I've been studying this, what we have through fellowship and prayer with the Father and the Son, how could you put a value on that? It's infinitely wonderful. And in so many ways, we negate it or neglect it We don't think it's that important. I think a lot of times I look at my own self and I just think, well, I'm a doer. I look at history and I see people, and they were doers because they were prayers. Do you know what I mean? They brought everything to the Lord, and I think a lot of us are just too self-sufficient. You know, we need to be depending on Him in every way. All right, and all that adds up to, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. And in Philippians chapter 4, this is a familiar passage. Now just think, this is the all-wise, loving, omnipotent God saying this, be anxious for nothing. What's it take to push your anxious button? What's it take to keep you awake at night? What's it take to ruin your day? You know, you fill in the blank. The Lord says, now this isn't your neighbor across the street saying, oh, don't worry about it. Your neighbor across the street doesn't have a clue, you know, what, probably about what you need to hear. But your heavenly Father, who does know and knows what His plan is for you, says, be anxious for nothing. And yet life is full of anxious potential situations. So then we have this word, but, a conjunction of contrast. Instead of being anxious, in everything by prayer, let's go to the one who knows, let's go to the one who has the power to fix it, and who knows what the right thing is, and will give me that. But in everything by prayer and supplication with, now here's the words, with thanksgiving. How can I be thankful when I don't know what the answer is yet? Know what I mean? I'm just praying the prayer. I'm saying, Lord, we're in this mess, and how would you fix this? Would you provide this? I think, and then I can add, and I think it should be done this way. And the Lord may say, no. And instead, I come to Him, and my whole prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. That you do you realize how deep that, how many fathoms deep that is? That I come before I know the answer, knowing the one who loves me, the one who's all-powerful, the one who's holy and righteous, the one who is going to glorify Himself and bring me the perfect answer. I come to Him and I say, in the front end, thank you. You have the perfect answer for me, and I'm already accepting it as the perfect answer, even though it may be 180 degrees out from what I'm asking. Okay? It says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, see, isn't that really what I need? It started off with, don't be anxious. Well, what should replace the anxiety? Peace. And I will have that peace when I know and understand and walk by faith that my Heavenly Father knows what's best, and that's what He's going to give me. And I'm not going to even begin to think that what He's going to bring my way is wrong. Because it's not. I know that. Do you know that? This one who loves you, He can bring you into some hard things, you know. But eternally speaking, and even now, for His glory, That's what it's about. Okay. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. I think we spend way too much time trying to gain comprehension. You know, we're going, well, if they say this, then I'm going to say this, and then we're going to, and we go on and on and on in our minds, and maybe we stay awake at night doing this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I have kind of a harsh thinking concerning this verse. It says, shall guard your hearts and your minds. I say it this way. All of us are not that far from crazy. We're not that far from going off the rails, okay? And things that shouldn't bother us can actually consume us and take away what the Lord wants us to have. And so it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts. This is how we guard our thinking as we walk by faith and trust him. Shall guard your hearts and minds and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then one more, Ephesians 5:20. I'll just read this. Notice, always giving thanks for all things. There's that, you know, I think of that word all. That's such a little word, but it's so big. You know what I mean? Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Before you're going to do that, you got to believe that he's in charge of your life, that he's orchestrating it according to his will, which is perfect for you and to his glory. And therefore, you ought to be excited about it. Father, we thank you for who you are and that the God of the universe, the God of all things, displaying such power and wisdom and beauty and so forth, would be listening to us, desiring us to pray and petition, ask, Father, so that you can then act in accordance with your perfect plan and will for us and give us the perfect answer, Father, to those prayers. And we thank you so much for that. And we thank you for that peace that surpasses so wonderfully comprehension or understanding. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.